Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Bo Matthews alongside Ryan Recker from Overnight America and Rachel Passer and Fred Bottomer, along with our producer, Dave Klein, covering the base for Mark Reardon this afternoon. The coronavirus keeps making headlines all over the world. There's actually a big concern for Iran, because Iran has now acknowledged 18 cases in three cities with four fatalities already. But, you know, it's funny because we call it the coronavirus, but there's been several coronaviruses over the years. They've been they've switched the name to this one to COVID-19, is what I understand. And it's really something that every human on the planet needs to pay attention to, because we don't know how big or bad it's going to be. There's already tens of thousands that are stricken with it. There are thousands dead already in China, and we've been hearing about quarantines and things like this. And so I always want to know the genesis. Where did it begin? And the only answer that I can come up with, that it's originally transmitted from animal to human, and they're saying camels, bats, and cats. And they're thinking, after doing some science work on, or some research on, you know, the scientific stuff, they've found that this one probably came from bats. Wow. So how that transforms and goes on to cruise ships and around, we wanted to bring Fred Bottomer in here, because you are our health
editor
here at KMOX. Anything that you have learned? I mean, because every day it's changing.
Well, I think that's what we're learning. Every day it is changing. Initially, they said that the time of exposure, the time of symptoms could be 14 days. And now in the last week, they're saying it might be 3 weeks. Mm. So they're starting to look at it in that way. The United States, the CDC, is changing now how they classify people that are, you know, have the coronavirus. So there's two types of people now, or two types of classifications. You could either have it if you got it here in the United States, or just were found in the United States, mm-hmm, with it, or if you had it over in China and brought it back with you. Mm. So that's called repatriated, and cases that were found in the U.S. system. So right now in the United States, we've got 13 cases that were caught here. Now, 11 of those were people that were in China and came back. The other two were in spouses, mm-hmm, that picked it up person to person once they were back in the States. And then the other 21 were repatriated citizens. Three of them got it, they had it in China, and they were flown back to the States through the State Department. And 18 of them were on that Diamond Princess cruise ship.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we get to. I guess it's like the 13 and 21, so we're at 34 cases now.
But, Fred, you said if the quarantine, they say, should last 3 weeks, and they're only quarantining people for 2 weeks, they're not doing that long enough then, right?
Right, but it's not determined yet. They're still not ready, right, to say that, but that's what a nurse told me, that they're thinking it might be more like 3 weeks.
When you hear stories like this, because, what, every 2 years it seems like there's a new story about, yeah, some virus that's scaring the entire world, coming from different parts of the planet. So last number I saw, 76,000 people infected in 27 countries. United States doesn't have nearly the same amount that we're seeing over in Asia with China and all of that that's going down, but 76,000 people altogether. People, health experts here are saying you're much more likely to catch the regular flu and you're much more likely to die from that here in the United States. But still, it's a pretty big concern if you're someone that travels, because who knows who you're sitting next to or where they came from anymore.
Compared to the flu, you know, let's look at your numbers that you had. 75,000 cases of COVID-19, 2,200 deaths in China. I think they're saying it's about a 2% fatality risk. And that's what they look at, the fatality risk. Compared to SARS, I think that was like a 9% fatality risk.
Oh, yeah.
So it's much less than that. Then you look at the flu, 29 million Americans have had the flu so far this season. 280,000 have been hospitalized, 16,000 deaths. And just today we heard that there have been 105 children that have died from the flu. So that's a little bit more overwhelming of something a little bit more of concern that I think we need to worry about.
And the scary thing, I think, is the symptoms are flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, they're upper respiratory. It's fever, cough, and trouble breathing. And that could be anything. I think the key, though, is the connection to China. If you've been in China, traveled in China, or know someone who's been to China and have close contact with them, that's when you should get worried.
Right, right. Well, and as the different cases are showing up in South Korea now, Iran, I mentioned, new clusters of the virus are found in China's prisons as well. So how little contact do prisoners in China have?
Oh, yeah.
And how is it getting in there? So it almost seems like it would be airborne, but it's not. It's got to be human to human.
Yeah, it's being transmitted person to person.
Yeah.
The WHO, the World Health Organization, right now says they're most worried about countries with weaker health systems. The United States should be fine because of the strong healthcare system we have here. But it's in other countries like in Asia that they're worried they don't have as good of a healthcare system, so it could travel faster there and spread even more.
Yeah, of all the stories you've covered, do you feel like this is overblown, or do you feel like the level of awareness is appropriate?
I don't think it's overblown. I think it's smart reporting. I think people need to be aware of what's going on, but I also like the fact that it's being put into perspective with the flu, at least here in the United States, that, you know, we've got to be more worried about catching the flu than we are the coronavirus.
Yeah, they're flu shaming. Oh, but the flu's a lot worse. You know, every time someone tries to put it in perspective that way, flu shaming, maybe not.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to be worried about one, and you can be worried about both, and the prevention is the same. Good hand hygiene, cough into your sleeve, avoid people that are sick. If you're sick, stay at home. So, you know, you can prevent both at the same time.
And stay away from Wuhan, China.
That's right.
If you can do that, you can avoid probably it. The easiest thing to do.
I think the sad part is, but the reality is the economy as well. I saw a report that 92% of, what was their thing? 92% of auto sales have plummeted in China. 92! That's huge. And you think of all the factories and the schools that have been shut down and shuttered for weeks. If that happened in this country, I mean, we freak out when there's a snow day. And just to think, because of this virus going around, we would have to shut down the city or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of interesting the fact that, like, so many people in China already typically wear those face masks around, and it's still spreading like crazy. So, like, what preventative measures would we need to take if it did kind of get even further here, you know? Like,
I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago, and there were so many people walking around with those masks on.
Like, out and about, or, like, in the airport?
Walking down the strip, walking through the casino.
Yeah.
They're now a fashion statement. They've got camo ones,
too.
They've got camo, glitter. We saw it in
parts of New York City. They're selling them on the stands on the sidewalk like they do tacos.
Yeah.
A doctor I talked to at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital said about the masks. He said, you know, you can wear them if you want.
Right.
They probably won't do much. They're better if you have a virus and it keeps it with you than if you're trying to prevent getting the virus. So he says, you know, it's something you can do, but it's probably smarter just to always keep your
home, please.
I heard a rumor there's promotional Battle Hawk face masks given out this Sunday. Is that true?
Oh, my God.
Ryan?
Not a good joke?
You are not used to daytime.
Not used to daytime. No. I like that they're very quick to point out that we're prepared. So, St. Louis is prepared in case we have an outbreak. Or, Kansas City's prepared. But they always bring out they're prepared. Are they really, though? I mean, like, how do you prepare for something like this when everyone's like, no one knows exactly what they would do if it
were we're freaking out so much, though, that it's important that even if we are prepared, on a health level, socially, it's important to be aware of the fact that, okay, so like, for example, there was the story about an Uber driver who was Chinese, right, and someone got in their Uber, and he just wanted to thank them for not canceling the Uber.
Why?
Because I guess so many people had come into the Uber and seen that he was Asian and were canceling their rides.
In America?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, there's also a case of a woman that was working out in a gym, an Asian woman, and she coughed and the gym emptied out. Everyone left. And
that's
that
just
was
crazy.
In the United
that's
States.
Crazy.
A little hypersensitive.
Yeah.
My new trick, actually, if I have to sneeze or cough or something, I will lift the collar of my shirt and sneeze into my shirt like that. I mean, it's just a preventative, because how many times have you like been in a meeting where you're going to shake somebody's hand and they just blow their nose right before they turn around and they're like,
that's when you fist bump it out.
How you doing? And that's where that's the fist bump comes from.
Going Howie Mandel did it first, and we're keeping it going.
Going caveman style. Well, Fred Bottomer, thank you so much for joining us on this segment of The Mark Reardon Show. It's Ryan Recker from Overnight America, Rachel Passer. My name is Bo Matthews, and this is the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Doesn't it sound so pleasant, a song like that? There is no travel in the world that's that pleasant as that song. Bo Matthews, Rachel Passer, and myself, Ryan Recker, in for Mark Reardon today. And we were looking at some of the increased scrutiny that airlines are going through, mostly because of that viral video of the lady that's sitting there and the dude was pounding behind the seat. So, you know, I think everyone's seen that since then. The guy was annoyed because she reclined her seat in for what made it look like a majority of the flight. The guy was just tapping the back of that seat, giving it some love punches. Well, it was weird. The internet sided with like each of the people. Half of them thought the guy was right to try to do his little protest for losing his space, and half of them thought the woman was being harassed because of it. The airline eventually came out and said, you should probably ask before you recline. That made a lot of people upset. But, you know, even during the flight, apparently they comped the guy some drinks to make up for the loss of space. And that made people even more upset. And it brings the question now, when you start to fly, in the last, I don't know, decade, they say, there's been so many more of these incidences that have popped up. Many more than you remember when you were younger. Why is it so miserable to travel? I mean, does it have to be that miserable all the time?
Well, we're so much more crammed into these planes. I hate a crowded elevator. Not that I'm going to throat punch anybody, but when I fly, and I'm a bigger guy, so that's why I married a teeny wife, I can take part of her seat, but just the confinement, it's so tight. I just, so my level is at a peak all
know,
the time.
And as we try to figure out, you know, we want to know how to act. I'm sure airlines are trying to rewrite their policies as we speak. Joining us now is Catherine Fan, a senior travel features reporter for thepointsguys.com. Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, are all the airlines just frantically trying to update their policies because they're all afraid that this next incident's going to happen with them?
You know, I don't know about that specifically for each airline, but I do know that every single airline we've spoken with thus far has told us, you know, the passenger that has a reclining seat has the right to recline it. That being said, the golden rule is absolutely paramount here. It's important to remember that you're going to be sitting next to this person for the next few hours. And so as one of the other guests has said, you know, when you are already in cramped spaces, it's difficult not to feel stifled. And it's important to remember that the person next to you is just as constricted and to be as kind as you can.
Yeah. How should you as a traveler handle situations like that?
Yeah, I believe the polite way to do this is to turn around first, make eye contact with the person behind you, and just make sure you're not knocking over a cup or a laptop or something like that. And a little bit of a gesture and reclining your seat as slowly as you can is as thoughtful as you could be. Of course, sometimes they get jammed, but that little recognition that, hey, I know you're back here and I'm trying to be thoughtful goes a long way.
You know, you can try to say I'm being thoughtful, but in the end, the airlines, it seemed like, said the policy should be ask before you recline. So people are just going to recline if they want to recline. I mean, it seems most people are, you know, I paid for this ticket. I'm going to use this seat if I want to use it. I'll recline if I want to recline, do whatever I want. There's always going to be disagreements. Do you just talk to the stewardess, or who do you talk to in a situation like that? Or should you take matters into your own hands?
You know, this actually happened to me last night. I had a like dispute on a flight of my own with the person next to me. She was a little bit snippy. I responded, I was snippy. And, you know, afterward, I thought about it and was like, you know, I really know better. We'd already been delayed for over an hour and it was a late flight. But I thought about it and I was like, you know, we're both adults. We've clearly both had a hard day. That was a very, you know, irresponsible and immature way of me to respond, even though I think that I was in the right. And so I just reached over and told her I was sorry for what I had done, and I wish I could have spoken differently about what I was trying to accomplish. And she put out her hand, smiled at me, said, told me her name, and apologized for her end of it as well. So I think the same kind of thing you would do in a crowded elevator, it's best to do on a plane. Just try to be an adult and handle it how best you can. Of course, once it starts escalating to the point where somebody's punching a seat, or, you know, you're reclining directly into somebody's kneecap, things are already pretty bad. So I would say the faster you can try to think of what you, you know, golden rule, what would you like someone else to do in your situation, the better.
We're talking
with, you're always going to run into people who can't help you, but you know, do your best first.
We're talking with Catherine Fan. She's the senior travel features reporter for thepointsguy.com. And this is Bo. Do you have stories of people actually having a fist fight in planes? Are you aware of anything like that? I mean, there's annoyances like the guy, you know, water torture tap in the back of that woman's seat last week. But do you actually have people that, you know, maybe have had too much to drink, that it actually gets into a physical argument?
You know, we did have someone write into the Points Guy last year and speak about how an elderly couple on an international flight had actually gotten so upset with her for reclining that they literally hit her on the top of the head. So
what?
I would see these things happen. And unfortunately, in situations like that, it's so unpleasant for everyone. Hopefully it doesn't get to that situation. But the airlines are a little bit responsible here as well, because, you know, everybody is so crammed in, especially on, you know, 12 or 14 hour flights, that A little more space would help.
Yeah, I don't know what I would be more upset about, if like the person had like an emotional support peacock next to me, or they're being inconsiderate. Because you feel pretty bad, because the animal, it's not the animal's fault that the animal's being an animal, and there's those instances where you find people are inconvenienced because of that sort of thing. But then there's the human behavior, the human nature. People are getting to these airports 2 hours ahead of time. The airline, I'm sure, has been jerking them around, giving them a hard time about things like that. You get there, nothing's as expected. Your bag doesn't fit in. You got a kid that's screaming and crying, and all of these other stresses are just circulating around you. Then you just add more and more on top of it. It's like all the airlines, they don't realize traveling is something that is inconvenient, and people just don't like doing it. The factor of enjoying it is thrown out the window.
And shouldn't they have rules on when the plane comes to the gate, you come to your destination and it's pulled up to the gate, the plane is now stopped and shut down. It's like every row of all the people all stand up at the same time. Can we have an etiquette that can we make right here that would make it, you know, I grew up in church where you waited till the minister excused you from your row.
Yeah.
Can we all get along and just, yeah, when it's your time to get up and go, that's when you stand up, yeah, and reach for your bag. I mean, have you had an instant like that?
It's of course, especially if you have a connecting flight that you need,
yeah,
to get to, and all these other people are just like, it's time for us to all get off. Like, no, I got to go somewhere right now, and we're already late.
You're the only one.
Yeah. Catherine Fan with thepointsguy.com. There was a question about etiquette as well, and what you do in your seat. I've noticed lately that the airlines have also been trying to rewrite their policy based on the type of content people are pulling up on their computers. So a lot of these flights, yeah, have Wi-Fi, and some of these people are looking up pornography. It's making the people very uncomfortable doing that. That's one of those other weird things that just started to happen on planes.
Yeah. One reason for that is because a lot of planes are getting rid of your in-flight entertainment, often abbreviated as IFE, so that TV screen on the back of the seat in front of you, those are going away. And a lot of times airlines are cutting costs by offering free streaming of movies and television shows. And of course, you're free to watch anything you download on your own devices. But, you know, a few months ago, there was an issue where a guy was watching Game of Thrones on a flight, and a mother two rows back was very upset with him because her child was there and trying to watch over his shoulder well.
So your best,
not giving us a whole lot of privacy or space here. And the golden rule applies absolutely. But what etiquette experts have told us is it's best for you to keep anything that, you know, wouldn't be publicly shown in a movie theater or would have a restriction for age. Try to keep those to yourself. You can watch it once you get to your hotel room or back in your house. But it's just common courtesy to make sure you're viewing material is within appropriate bounds. And of course, always use headphones when you can. Or actually, in fact, you should only watch stuff if you have headphones available,
right,
because nobody else can have to listen to it.
We're all watching it together, guys.
Yeah, watching an Eddie Murphy special with all the kids listening.
So in the event, Catherine, in the event something does get out of hand, are these stewards and stewardesses trained in physical restraint or anything? I mean, I know that's rare, but, or is there air marshals on planes that are out running around?
Right. So flight attendants really are closer to emergency responders, your paramedics, your EMTs, than they are to, you know, wait staff. So that seems to be a common misconception that people are not there to help arbitrate. They're there to make sure that you're safe in case there's an emergency and the pilot needs them to help you, you know, prepare for a safe landing or if somebody has a heart attack on board. So ultimately, they are somewhat trained in conflict resolution, but that really should be reserved more for people who are, you know, having some type of an extreme medical attack, anything that is just between adults or even adults with children, if possible, resolve it between yourselves. And if it really is an issue, you know, quietly flag down a flight attendant and get the help that you need.
Catherine Fan, you're a senior travel features reporter with TPG. If people wanted to check out your work, where can they find it?
They can find it on thepointguy.com or they can find me on Instagram as well.
Catherine Fan, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you as well.
Yeah, the traveling. Ooh, boy, oh, boy.
You guys, that's why I always go for the exit row.
You know,
lots of legroom.
By the way, this could be a lousy transition, but I know some people want to chill out. So apparently cannabis classes are becoming more popular at schools. Yeah, even one close to here in St. Louis. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to the Mark Reardon Program with Rachel Passer, Beau Matthews, Ryan Recker filling in on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You've been waiting for it, and it's back.
Welcome to the show!
Cardinals preseason exhibition play hits the diamond this Saturday as the Cards take on the New York Mets. Pregame 11:55. Hear it here on your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
Let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint.
Wow.
That'd be Dave Klein, the producer in charge of that. It's the Mark Reardon Show, along with Ryan Recker from Overnight America and Rachel Passer.
I'm Beau, play Snoop Dogg.
I'm Beau Matthews.
Yeah. Yeah. <Ba-da-da-da-da>.
I didn't go to class, and then I got high. Yeah. So it's so weird to me when Illinois started selling recreational, or any state getting medical marijuana going and recreational marijuana. All of a sudden, these stores open, and they are loaded down with all this inventory, and you wonder, where does it come from? Well, the art, and I guess it is an art, of growing cannabis is going to be a minor subject at Western Illinois University in the fall. Andy Baker is the director of the School of Agriculture at Western Illinois University. To answer some of our plugging questions here, like, how do you learn how to do that? How did you learn how to do it to be able to teach it? Welcome to KMOX, sir.
Thank you very much.
And what a great name, too. I know I'm not the first, but Andy Baker, seriously, how number one, it makes sense that there is a college course on it, but how do you learn? How did you learn how to do this, what you're going to share with your students?
Well, you have to understand agriculture is really the industry that grows plants. So once you know how to grow one, you know how to grow many others. And so when the concept came up of developing the minor within our curriculum, we consider ourselves experts in growing any kind of plant. And so we have a greenhouse complex, and so we've already had one grant that was funded this summer to study native species of hemp in the state of Illinois. And so we've already have grown the plant already this past summer and this fall. But what we're trying to do is gear it towards the new industry that has developed in Illinois. And so we will then talk more specifically about the cannabis plant, specifically than corn, soybeans, and other crops that we normally talk about.
No. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Andy, I got a question for you. What do you do with the product you grow?
Well, every plant that we grow, we have to make sure that we are inventory every stem, every leaf, everything, but it's destroyed.
Okay.
So
it's kind of like what the police would do if they had a big bust or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Something along those lines. Is this more on the business side or is this more on the growing side?
It's going to be both, but the minor really concentrate on the biology and the production of the plant. This whole minor has stimulated a lot of interest at the institution in developing other interdisciplinary studies, minors, as well as I just had to come across my desk yesterday of a new class on the economics of cannabis. And so we understand that, you know, this is a new industry to Illinois, but we grew the plant back in the 40s. During World War II, and hemp was used quite a bit in rope production. And so it's not that it's that new to us. It just hasn't really had a market in the last 50 years.
Out of curiosity, when it comes to, like, taking tests and exams in your classes, what would that kind of look like for, you know, that kind of a minor, I guess?
Well, it would be like any other class, but what we've instituted in the minor itself is that there's a practicum. So we want our students to be able to have hands-on experiences with the plant and understanding where it's going to go. As we develop a new major, which is a little bit different than the minor, minor's 18 to 19 additional courses or hours that you will need on top of your major. But as we develop the major, we're looking at developing an actual mandatory internship, either with a grower or a seed producer or in the processing portion of the product. So we're developing those partnerships now. I have a meeting next week with a potential partner, and they're basically coming out of the woodwork as we speak. Now that the news has got out, there are lots of companies and organizations that are very interested in pursuing this. And, of course, I was just got off the phone right before I talked to you about the Illinois Department of Agriculture that just established a new bureau in cannabis that they're going to need a separate bureau that's going to regulate all the policies out there in the state of Illinois. So there's going to be all kinds of employment opportunities in government or in production, you name it.
Dispensaries.
It's gonna be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Andy Baker. He's the director of the School of Agriculture at Western Illinois University. You know, something that is interesting because there's obviously medicinal benefits from it. That's why medicinal marijuana has been so freely legalized in a lot of states, if not all at this point. But what I don't understand, if this is your world, how do you figure out the different strains that do the different things, whether it's epilepsy or whether it's, you know, different aspects of the actual plant? How do you figure that part out? Is it just science?
Well, it's got to be tested for the THC level. So the only thing that we can grow on campus is the hemp side of things. So we have to constantly monitor the THC levels in the plant. And if it gets too hot, then we have to be able to destroy that plant. We can't use it for our research because any of the plants on the medical side are under strict regulation, 24/7 security. Most of the people that can gain access to those facilities, you got to be 21 and over. You know, it's highly regulated. So what we can only deal with at the institution is the hemp plant, which we have to be able to test regularly for the THC levels. And like I said, if it gets too hot, then we have to be able to destroy that plant because we cannot do that. I mean, we don't have permission to grow that type of plant.
You know, so it is 21 or older to purchase the products in Illinois. Is there a certain age to grow the products?
You know, that's a great question, and I can't give you an accurate answer for that. You know, most of the producers, like seed producers in Illinois, they're farmers themselves and want to try to get themselves into a new niche market. So I don't know about the age of growing it. But I think in Illinois, like I said, I cannot give you an accurate answer, but people in Illinois can grow their own plants, and it's regulated on how many plants you can actually grow.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, too, about the climate, because you said you have a greenhouse for this. Can you do you have to have a greenhouse based on the climate of where you're at in order to grow?
If you do in the wintertime, yes.
Yeah, so if you're 20 year-round.
I mean, if you're growing hemp in Illinois, you can, you know, it's out in the field just like any other plant would be, but then they have to regulate monthly the THC levels in those plants. And if they get too hot, they have to destroy those plants too. So it's regulated in that regard. The thing with what we're doing educationally is our students aren't here in a normal growing season like May, June, July, and so we have to be able to grow the plant when the students are here, which are generally during the winter months. And so that's why we have to have the greenhouse facility.
Okay, and again, I go back to my original comment when we opened up this segment on KMOX, was, you know, these stores open up on January 1. Do you know where all the inventory came from to supply these stores? I mean, what did they make in the first month, like $40 million? I mean, what a great business to get into. The profit margin is ridiculous.
Yeah, the state of Illinois regulates their medical marijuana facilities by police district, state police district. So I believe there's 18 police districts in the state of Illinois. So there's one growing facility in each one of those state police districts. So that's how it's regulated that way.
This is kind of a weird question, but when you have students that apply for this type of program, is there any drug testing that goes on?
Not at our level, no.
No. Okay, wow. So there's not really a concern that the people that
go through the midterms?
Program. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the state of Illinois, you could, I mean, it's legal now, so, you know.
Oh, it's, good point.
Yeah.
So you don't mind if the students are users of the product?
Do I mind? It's a new industry that certainly we are developing. Yeah. How many of our students are actually coming to class? I wouldn't even try to fathom how many.
So many facets.
Even before the January 1st deadline.
Right. Yeah, really.
Right.
No, but it didn't happen before January 1st. You know that, Mr. Baker.
I do. Yeah.
Well, you've been a great guest, and thank you for your perspective on this art of growing cannabis. Andy Baker, the director of School of Agriculture at Western Illinois University. It is the voice of St. Louis, KMOX, with Ryan Recker, Rachel Passer, and Bo Matthews, and we have more coming up, including Battle Hawks excitement with an actual tailgate party leader coming up on KMOX. Mark Reardon Show. I'm Bo Matthews. And we've got Ryan Recker and Rachel Passer. And it is going to be a huge weekend in St. Louis. Battle Hawks finally get to play their first home game in St. Louis at the Dome. And by the way, I love the Dome. This Dome, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a great Dome. They could play soccer. They could put baseball in it. They could do anything in that Dome. Monster trucks, of course, are famous in there, aside from the boat and car shows. But the Battle Hawks are finally coming in, expecting 28,000-plus fans. And I'm hearing ticket prices on the
resale ticket prices are high right now.
I've got a scalper. I've heard really? $600. I've heard up to $600. I did. I heard
worth
that.
It.
Wait till the next game.
But it's Mardi Gras weekend. You got to go hard or go home.
Can you believe all this going on in downtown?
It's going to be wild then, for sure. I don't even know.
Over the last couple of days, I've been searching Facebook for different Battle Hawks groups out there, and I actually found the official page of the St. Louis Battlehawks tailgate group, and I contacted Rick Stories. He's on the line right now. Rick just got off of work. How are you, sir? Welcome to KMOX.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for taking the time here with us. You have been a diehard Mizzou fan, and you've not missed a game since 2009, I think you said. You've got to be jacked for this weekend.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Ready to tailgate in St. Louis for a change.
So do you also have tickets to the game, sir?
Oh, for sure.
Well, that would be silly. But not really, I mean, because a lot of people can't make it in. What are your plans? Where is the St. Louis Battlehawks tailgate party officially going to be? Do we want to put it out there?
Yeah, for sure. We're at North Tucker and Convention. It's the Missouri Bar and Grill lot.
All right, there's something I read here. Let me bring this up to you real quick. It was on, I think, an opinion piece over on the Post-Dispatch, in the very first line when they're looking at the media views of the Battlehawks. The Battlehawks bandwagon is stampeding across multiple St. Louis outlets. This isn't a bandwagon yet. Is it even possible to say bandwagon? Because you're at the original, the first game. You can't call it a bandwagon yet. This is like the spot for fans to really plant their flag and be original fans of the sport.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, this is actually the very first team that it's ours. I mean, it's never been anywhere else. So,
oh, it's an interesting way to look at it.
And we've been hungry for football. Am I right, Rick?
Oh, for goodness sake.
All right. So tell me what goes on at a tailgate.
Well, get there early, set up, turn on the music.
What music are you?
Yeah, what kind of music are we blasting?
And,
what's the official food of the Battlehawks? So what are you going to be cooking?
This week, we're just going to do some brats, burgers, chili, and several people are bringing different dips. We really don't know what all is coming in yet.
The battle dips, yeah. Yes.
I would think there would be a lot of chicken wings, you know, the battle wings.
I kind of like that.
Something like that. There's got to be something. The festivities are slated to kick off officially at 10:45 with Mardi Gras. Will you be partaking in Mardi Gras on Saturday prior to the Battle Hawks celebration on Sunday, Rick?
I will not. Okay. We will be there.
Saving it.
The lot's going to open at 7, so we'll be there, you know, about 7:30 or so.
I need to know if you're a true fan. So if a tattoo artist was there, would you get a Battlehawks tattoo?
Wow.
Not going to happen.
Well, no, you got to ask him first. Do you have any tattoos at all so far?
I have one from the Army days.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's where it is.
All right. So no tattoo yet. You're not leaving it for the future, though.
You thinking we're going to win this one?
Oh, yeah, we're going to kill him.
What's your predicted score?
36-10.
Wow.
Nothing.
Wow. Have you practiced your caw-caw?
Well, I was not a fan of the caw-caw.
Oh.
Really?
It's definitely a St. Louis thing now, so I'm in with it. It's gone crazy, and now it's just like, it's kind of really cool now because it aggravates all the other fan bases, apparently. And, it's a good thing.
Well, Rick, I know you're excited about it, and there's other tailgate groups out there. I'm glad I reached out to you. And now the people that are your group, your private group has over 2,500 members in it. How many groups are out there? And I mean, are these people that you've known, or you've just become Battlehawk fans together online and are going to meet for the first time on Sunday?
Well, yeah, most of them. I mean, there's a couple guys that I tailgate with at Mizzou, and I did invite a few people from that tailgate page, but most of these are going to be brand new people I've never met before, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, Rick, don't go anywhere. I want you to hear the audio cut of the day. It's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Here's our cut of the day.
Can you imagine that a million times more?
I can.
I know.
In the dome. In the dome.
You got to get on board with the caca, Rick. You have to.
Oh, no, I'm there. I'm there now. I didn't like it at the beginning at all.
Can you give me your best caca?
Caca!
Ooh, that was good. That was good.
It's going to be great. Well, hey, go Battle Hawks. And by the way, I do want to mention the Battle Hawks. Rick, thank you. Have a great time. We'll catch up again soon because I'm on his Facebook page. but I do want to mention that the Battle Hawks, I reached out to them to sponsor or be a part of my Big Dogs Poker Bash March 8th at Brookdale Farms, benefiting the police officers. And immediately responded, says, absolutely, we're going to get you tickets. We're going to get you swag. So I'm headed out there next week to pick that up. So
their answer was, caca, which is universal yes now in St. Louis.
Or that. You forgot that
one? Oh, yeah, you hit that tongue pop, though. I see you.
Okay, it has been a blast. Ryan's sticking around. Ryan Recker, Rachel Passer, I'm Bo Matthews for the Mark Reardon Show. Ryan's going to hang with you the rest of the afternoon. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Be safe. And go Battle Hawks. And on three, one, two, three.
Caca!
Yeah, we here now. Let the competition disappear. Come on, I'll save the challenge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.